In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Excellence.
Welcome back into another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, welcome on in. It is good to be here.
Let's go.
Let's go. Mitch, we're hyped.
Big hyped.
We're ready to go.
It's Wednesday, my dude.
It is Wednesday, my dudes. We are recording this on February 23rd. Last podcast of February 2022. Next time you hear from us, it'll be March. And this week, we're kind of in the beginning of the NFL offseason, right? The last podcast was our Super Bowl reaction day after the Super Bowl. We've taken a little over a week since then, and we're going to, for the most part today, look at the NBA season, which just wrapped up the All-Star weekend. We'll get into the last quarter of their season. So we're going to look at the current standings, who's sort of in the playoffs, who's completely out, and who's looking potentially for a play-in tournament berth. And so we'll be transitioning to more of the NBA from here moving forward. So figured this would be a good time to sort of reset the NBA season so that we can regularly incorporate it onto this podcast. We've got news and notes as always, and a return of a couple OG segments, which we love. So that's what we've got in store today, Mitch. It should be a fun one. It's always a fun one.
It is always a fun one. I mean, this may be a top 50 episode we've ever done.
And we have done, this is number 120.
Yeah.
So, I mean
it's definitely top 100. Maybe top 50.
Okay, so you started a little bolder. You immediately backed off with a very mellow, definitely top 100 out of 120, Mitch.
No, I stuck with my guns. I said,
and
I
then you said
what
maybe
I said.
Top 50. You said this is a top 50.
But that's
episode,
what I said to start.
And then, no, you said it is. And then you turned into a maybe. I'm just saying, sell it, man.
I said this might be a top 50 episode of all time.
Okay.
I said it might be a top 50 episode of all time. Those
I
are
think
my
it
words.
Will be. I'm just saying, sell it, man.
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
We're going to make it a top 50 episode. Let's just do that. Let's
maybe,
just make
maybe
it.
Top 47. Let's make it a top 47.
Now
episode.
That's spicy. Now that's caliente. That's something you got to throw up on the hot corner. If you don't already know, and you haven't already checked out the website, thesportshourguys.wordpress.com, you can find the hot corner, Mitch's hot take, his regular segment, his weekly occurrence. You had a recent article that you just dropped yesterday, in fact. Talking about baseball and the sort of decline in baseball, which is a great article, by the way. So you, the listener, if you haven't already, check out the website. You can listen or you can read Mitch's Hot Corner and much more on there from us and potentially even more people moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. We'd love to have you guys check that out. Again, that is the sportshourguys.wordpress.com for weekly multiple, hopefully that's what we're shooting for, multiple weekly blogs that will be coming to you here over the next, forever.
Like,
we'll do that.
Literally forever until we die.
Until we're dead.
Sports Hour for life. Bitch, I was just kidding. No, mid show.
SH4L.
All right. On that note, I think we need to just jump right into this. And Mitch, we've got to start the way we always start.
That's right. Let's jump into the news and notes from around the world of sports. Let's get into the news. I didn't take a deep enough breath before that one.
Yeah, didn't I? I always try to set you up pretty well. You know, you got an opportunity to really use that runway.
I know. Sorry. It was poor execution.
You're not helping us execute our top 50 podcast of all time. I'm sorry. Bluster news intro, but it's fine. We'll recover.
A lot of ball game left.
A lot of pod left. A lot of pod left to recover. Mitch, let's start off with some news out of the NFL. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who has filed a lawsuit against the NFL and some NFL teams for his treatment and his firing, has a new job in the NFL, and he was hired as a defensive assistant and linebackers coach this past Saturday with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he joins Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff here. Obviously, Flores more than qualified for this position. He was interviewing for NFL head coaching opportunities after, moving on from Miami after three seasons. And again, this lawsuit that he's filed against the NFL, the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Broncos, obviously still going. He hasn't stopped that. But a lot of people believed that that lawsuit and that action that Flores took would be his end in the NFL, and that the coaching opportunity would never return. Now, who's to say he'll ever get a head coaching opportunity again? But good to see a quality head coach, a very good head coach, get another position. The obvious fit with Mike Tomlin. He's a minority head coach himself, probably shares a lot of the experiences, or at least understands a lot of what Flores may have been going through. And so great fit on a great team, and glad that he still has a job in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the words you were looking for when you said more than qualified was overqualified.
Yeah.
This guy has been a successful head coach in the NFL. And, you know, for him to be a positions coach right now just seems silly and odd. But, you know, I'm glad that he found a job. And you mentioned Mike Tomlin, someone who probably understands a lot of the situation that he's going through, a lot of, you know, the things that, you know, they have similar experiences through their coaching paths in the NFL. And, I mean, just what a gig to be playing or to be coaching aside probably the best coach in the NFL right now. I mean, this couldn't have been a better situation for Brian Flores, I think.
No doubt. And so, you know, obviously a lot to go in terms of the lawsuit. But again, Flores, 40 years old, just, having left Miami after three seasons as their head coach. Good to see him get an opportunity immediately in what will be a good spot. As you said, I mean, Tomlin might be the best coach in the entire league. So not a bad spot to be in if you are Brian Flores. Mitch, talking about football, but not the NFL, another league, the USFL. That's right. The return of the United States Football League, which did have a life during the 80s. It is back. If you weren't paying attention, you didn't know, it is back. And this past week, they unveiled the jerseys for their eight teams. They also held in the past couple of days, concluded today, Wednesday, the 23rd, a 35-round draft for players at every position. They'll open up the rosters after this, but an opportunity for teams to secure, players at every position. So, interesting to see yet another league move forward. The XFL obviously is going to return. And in fact, this week, the XFL struck a deal with the NFL to be, I think the phrase they used was like a Petri dish, just to try things out. When they want to test new rules or test new formats, the XFL's agreed to be sort of that experimental league for the NFL. But the USFL now an opportunity for players to develop. Mitch, the eight teams, let's talk about the teams themselves, a little bit about the jerseys. These are the eight teams. We got the Michigan Panthers, the Birmingham Stallions, the New Jersey Generals, Houston Gamblers, Philadelphia Stars, New Orleans Breakers, Pittsburgh Maulers, and the Tampa Bay Bandits. What do you think of the teams and the jerseys, Mitch?
I gotta say, and I know that this color combination may not be super popular, I love the Houston Gamblers. Black, white, and what's that, like a purple?
Like black, white, and gray. It's like a gray. It's a maybe more of a bluish gray, but certainly a gray color, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I love that color combination. The jerseys, man, they nothing other than that really stands out. I mean, I do like the New Orleans Breakers uniforms as well. Kind of a throwback to the Salt Lake City Stallions.
Yes, feels very much like the Salt Lake Stallions from the AAF. That blue, AAF. A dark blue and a light blue white color combination.
Yeah, I mean, but overall, I'm fairly pleased with the uniforms. I didn't expect anything that was going to blow me away right off the bat. Do hate the name Pittsburgh Maulers. Maulers just seems like a created team on Madden that you would have. I mean, it just does not seem to fit the mold for what a professional sports team should be named after.
Yeah, you know, the names generally disappointing, I think. Maulers and Breakers are both awful names. Breakers are supposed to be waves. And of all the things in New Orleans that you could do, all the interesting things that you could do around New Orleans and Louisiana, to do waves, I just don't understand. Especially with the history of like flooding in New Orleans. I don't know if that's like the right message you're sending. I don't get Breakers. Maulers, again, I agree with you. Name is not great, though their jersey and their colors, which is a purple and orange and white combination, I do like that. It is different. I wish they were just more interesting with names, right? You've got Stars, Stallions, Panthers, Generals. It's, you know, you could be so much more interesting, and in a new league and a different name, you know, exciting concept would be fun. They're pretty generic, and the jerseys, pretty straightforward, pretty generic in their own right. But it is exciting to have another league back and to receive the return of some notable former NFL players in the draft.
I mean, I do love the name Gamblers. I do love the name Gamblers.
Yes, Houston Gamblers is a great name. And the Bandits, the Tampa Bay Bandits, were a team in the previous iteration of the USFL, right? So that is like a return, a throwback to their prior roots, which is also fantastic.
I just wish the Bandits would have like gone with the same theme, but tweaked it a little bit, like Outlaws.
Oh, okay. So it instead of Bandits, just a bit.
Just a little bit. But I mean, all in all, I mean, outside of really much Pittsburgh, I don't have a problem with any of the names. I think they fit pretty well. But yep, like you said, generic.
Right.
But what else do you expect?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, we can't mix it up and be creative nowadays. Gotta play it safe. You know, as far as players, this is a lot of younger players who maybe had a couple years of NFL experience looking to get back or looking to maybe break through for the first time. Some interesting guys that you'd be familiar with. Paxton Lynch, I believe he was the 12th quarterback selected, wasn't even selected in the first round of quarterbacks. They drafted by rounds. So round one was all quarterbacks. Every team picked a quarterback, and then it would go to line, offensive line. You have three rounds of offensive line, the three rounds of D line. I liked the format, you know, the way they did it, but Paxton Lynch, one of the more interesting names at quarterback, also a former Memphis quarterback. Brady White, another one that I recognized. Any other names, any other players that stuck out to you? I know we were talking about the Paxton Lynch one earlier.
Yeah, Kyle Lauletta was another one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think he was previously with the New York Giants.
Giants, yeah.
There was who was the other guy that I saw that looked familiar? Jordan Ta'amu.
Oh yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played in the XFL and maybe even the AAF. I feel like he did spend some time in the NFL, you know, around a couple squads. But yeah, has also bounced around some of these more developmental leagues. I think he's with Tampa, the Bandits.
Yes, he is. He is. Oh, and Eli Rogers, who was a former Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver, also with the Bandits. So,
right. Yeah. Actually the number one pick, the first pick overall to the Michigan Panthers was a former Michigan player, Michigan quarterback, Shea Patterson. He was a big time recruit that never really became what he could have. Hometown guy gets picked by Michigan. That makes sense there. But it'll be fun. I'll be watching. I don't know how much you're interested, Mitch, if you think you'll be watching or paying attention. I don't have a team. I guess I need to find a team to root for. Maybe should we pick one together right now? It seems like you want to root for the Gamblers.
Sure.
Seems like you are a Gamblers fan.
I would like to be a Gamblers fan. I mean, that's just the one that sticks out to me, but I mean, you're more than welcome to pick your own team if you want to stake your flag somewhere else. But
you know, I'm going to say TBD. Should I look at the rosters or should I just no, I'm not going to look at the rosters. You know what?
You don't know anyone on there.
I'm going with my, yeah. Well, I mean, I maybe know like 10% of the guys. Come on, give me a little credit here.
Okay.
Going with the Pittsburgh Maulers. That's my team. Cause I love purple and orange. And it's the team Mitch hates. So I gotta pick that one. A rivalry has emerged on the podcast in our USFL rooting rights. Gamblers versus Maulers. I like this. I'm getting me a jersey.
Well, you know, and you get a jersey and you know, I'm a hat guy. So now I got to get a Houston Gamblers hat.
They got to have some cool gear, right? Purple and orange. I love that. So USFL will be following along, and then the XFL will make its return. Obviously, their season was stopped short with COVID in 2020, though I did think they were having a pretty successful season. Certainly, we're headed in a better direction than AAF was the prior year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for me, I think, and not to spend too much more time on this, but it's going to be interesting to see how two spring leagues work at the same time. Like, we have a hard time getting one spring football league to get enough traction to stick around. How are we going to do two? Like, this is just, it just seems like one is destined to doom. I don't want to be a pessimist here, but it just seems like if we can't get one spring football league to stick, how the heck are we going to do two?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we haven't really seen one stick around at all, really. So it's not like there's any reason to be extremely optimistic, but you know, I hope we've talked about this before when we've talked about the AAF and we talked about the XFL that developmental leagues for the NFL are huge, and there's so much talent out there that guys to get other opportunities for it to serve as an extended practice squad, essentially a way for NFL teams to dip into a pool of players certainly is a great idea. I hope that, I don't know how it'll work. I'm with you there to have two at one time. We'll be interesting to see what sort of interest level there is. But USFL is going to kick off this year. I think the XFL will come back in 2023. So perhaps with a year under its way, the USFL will be able to carve its own path in that regard. The first game for the USFL, the kickoff, April 16th, Generals facing the Stallions in Birmingham. So there you go. A few months away from the beginning of the USFL season there. Championship game will be July 3rd. I love that timeline. February or April to July, right before August and NFL training camp. We need something.
We need something.
We're already itching. What did you do this weekend without football, Midge?
I actually watched the Daytona 500. So
there you go. Well, let's actually talk about that, because we're going to bring that up here on the podcast, the Daytona 500. How was it? How did it go? What were your thoughts?
Fantastic race. I mean, with a fantastic finish. Austin Cindric, the rookie, the rookie in his first full-time season. He made a handful of starts for Penske last year, gets the win, and a nail biter, winning by 0.03 of a second over Bubba Wallace. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Blaney, and Eric Almirola rounding out the top five. It was a really competitive race. This was the first big long race that we've seen with the next gen car and the single lug tire or the single lug wheels, the no more five lug pit stops. There's one center nut that comes off, which is a lot like which is exactly what they do in F1 and an Indy car. And I gotta say, we saw a lot of wheel failures. I think there was three instances where wheels just broke or fell off. So there's some design flaw there or something that's gone amiss with in the pit stops or whatever. But there's an issue there that I think should be addressed and will be addressed. Lots of big names fell out towards the late stages of the race. Guys like defending champion Kyle Larson crashed with 10 to go. Same thing with Kevin Harvick. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin all got caught up in late race stuff. There were names that we hadn't seen in a while that came back. Get names like Greg Biffle, who came back after 4 years out of the seat, or actually 5 years out of the seat. He came out and made a one-off start for NY Racing, putted around, kept the car in shape. Nothing wrong with that. Jacques Villeneuve, former Indy 500 champion, former IndyCar or F1 champion, made a start for a brand new team. I believe their owner is from like Switzerland or something like that. I don't know what it is. It's a brand new team. He actually put that car in the top 25. So good job for the Canadian Jacques Villeneuve.
Sounds like a movie I'm familiar with.
Maybe a little Jean Girard action.
I'm just saying.
But all in all, it was a fantastic race. It was great to see NASCAR kind of start to make its comeback. The stands were full. Viewership was great. It was great racing. We're all worried when there's a new generation of car that's brought in. How's the racing going to be? Is it going to get more mundane and more boring, or is it going to be more exciting? And quite honestly, it was more exciting. So NASCAR's done a great job with the development of this new car and how they're implementing it into the sport. And all in all, a fantastic race. Fantastic.
Well, there you go. I love that. Well, obviously, we'll have you throughout the NASCAR season update how the new car is holding up, how the season is playing out. Because it is, an important moment for NASCAR, right, to capitalize opportunity for growth and opportunity to reach a new audience with this new car and some new things like the race that they put on at the LA Coliseum a few weeks ago. So great stuff. You'll love to see it.
Love to see it. Glad NASCAR's back.
Yeah.
We got another thing that came back this year, and it's something that happens every 4 years, but it is the Winter Olympics. And Dallin, I know you and I were talking before, and you're a little disappointed. I am.
You know, here's the thing. We like to talk about this is the greatest country on earth, right? We're the greatest country on earth. Well, apparently that's not true
We are the greatest country on earth.
Apparently it's not true when it comes to Winter Olympics. All right. I thought that we dominated everything. The Summer Olympics, I know we don't always win, but we're right up there 1, 2, 3, always in the Summer Olympics. We're very good in a lot of different, sports, swimming, obviously basketball, we're always dominating, track and field. But the Winter Olympics, it turns out, we're not the best. This year, 2022 Winter Olympics just wrapped up a couple days ago in Beijing and Norway. Ends up winning the total medal count, 37 total medals for Norway. That's back to back with number one finishes for Norway. They also had the top medal count in 2018 Pyeongchang, and we finished fifth, 12 medals back. Now we were just a couple back of Germany, who was third, one back of Canada, but we lost to Canada. The one silver lining this year, Mitch, that I want to just also throw in here, is that the host China was 11th. So you loved it. That feels great, right? That feels, we're cool.
Yeah,
with that.
Screw you, China.
Out of the top 10, you love to see that. But that's a fifth place finish for the United States in the total medal count. And now I'm like, I thought we were the best. What is going on? Is this normal? Well, 2018 in Pyeongchang, We finished fourth. Not good. But then in 2014, Sochi, Russia, we finished second. And in 2010 in Vancouver, we were number one. So we've fallen off. We have fallen off, Mitch. And it's time to get our shit back together because we're America, damn it. We don't finish fifth. We're not the fourth best country out there. Goddamn, we're the number one. All right. So let's get this shit in motion. All right. We're trying to bring the Winter Olympics back in like 12 years to Salt Lake City. We better be on top by the time we come back to the States. That's all I'm saying.
100%. I'm 100% on board with you. I mean, this is not the American way. Americans win. We're winners. You know what losing is for? Losers.
Exactly.
That's what that's for. And we are not losers. Okay. I do want to point out, though, this is probably my favorite part of the whole Winter Olympics was the men's curling team.
Yes.
My favorite part. They look like a group of dads like just wanted to get a weekend away with the boys and then accidentally became the USA curling team.
That's why we love curling. That's why curling is the best.
Matt Hamilton looks like a guy straight out of a frat house, grew a mustache and started curling. Like
these
that's
guys
all it is.
Are literally plumbers by day, gold medal Olympians by night. It is incredible.
Fantastic. It's inspiring. For the humans.
It's inspiring.
Absolutely.
As a just a regular ass dude in America, it's inspiring to know that I too could be an Olympian if I just knew how to slide on ice and push a rock.
I mean, that's probably the sport I should be pursuing.
I mean, if there was a sport that you and I had the highest odds of becoming a gold medal Olympic athlete in, I feel like curling is our one and only opportunity.
Here's the deal, though. I can't be the guy sliding the rock because I can't stretch that far. You see those legs?
Mitch would not be able to get out of that position. You'd just be locked in like that. People would have to push you around already bent over
because
you wouldn't be able to get back up.
No, they do it and they just like gracefully stand up. I do it and just like fall over. I'm just like, help me up. Not good on skates.
I'd have to be the broom guy. I sweep our house. You know, I'm the guy. I'm the one who sweeps in the house. My wife doesn't. I'm the one who sweeps. So I would be pretty good at that. I feel like I've had a lot of practice. So I don't know. Maybe we should consider training to be Olympic athletes.
Yeah. You want to just quit the podcast and go be curlers?
I think that's it, guys. This has been so much fun for the past 3.5 years.
Let's hang it up.
Time to pursue our true dream, just to be Olympic curlers. All I'm saying is we need to get back on top. This is America, damn it.
Let's
get our shit together. All right.
Pull your head out of your ass.
One more thing for the news. It's the weekly Kraken update. Mitch, since the NHL All-Star Weekend, we teased into the NHL All-Star Weekend the last time we talked about our Kraken, and it has not been good post-All-Star break for our guys. They are 1-6 in the 7 games that they played post-All-Star break, the lone win coming at Anaheim. Losers of 5 straight right now. And it's not going to get any easier for the Kraken. The overall record, 16-33-4. Mitch, listen, it's all about building on something, right? It's all about building on something for our Kraken. And this isn't the miracle season that we hoped we could have saw like the Golden Knights had. That was always unrealistic. But you do hate to see it.
You hate to see it. I mean, we're down bad right now. We're down real bad.
Third least amount of total points, which means third worst team.
I mean, one of those losses came
behind Montreal and the Coyotes. Then it's the Kraken.
Like, we're getting our ass kicked in most of these. 6-2, 5-3, 5-2, 5-2. Before the dub over the Ducks, we lost the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Those guys can't even pay rent at their own arena. And we're losing 5-2 to the Coyotes.
And the Coyotes have a worse record. That's a team we actually should be. That's one of the only teams we should be beating.
It's the team we should be beating.
it's tough. But you know what? Again, it's building upon a foundation. And honestly, Mitch, if we're really talking about this, it is better in the long run for our Kraken to get one of the best prospects, you know, and you know, to come into the league and to really be the star, because in the expansion draft, you don't get access to top tier players. You get expiring veterans, young, underdeveloped players, injury prone players. That's the pool of players you have access to when you are in an expansion draft. So what the Knights did was create a very competent team all across the board. Guys elevated their play. Boom. Now all of a sudden they're there. But you need a star. Eventually you want to build around a guy. Hopefully this is their avenue to get one of those guys, and the future could be brighter in Seattle.
Yes. Yeah, I 100% agree.
But
shooting for that number one pick, baby.
There we
Let's go.
Yes. Tank for, I don't know who we should.
Oh, wait, do they do a lottery?
Are we going to get into the, the NHL hockey draft? Do I got to start scouting?
Hell yes, we
prospects?
Are. Hell yes.
I need to know, is it like tank for Trevor? I need to know, like, who's our guy? Who's the one we want? I don't know. What's the random 19-year-old Canadian kid that I should be coveting like he's fucking Sidney Crosby? That's what I need to know, Mitch.
That sounds like we got research we need
to do. We got work to do. We'll update you guys as we dive. We become the Mel Kiper of the NHL draft. Mitch. Before we finish completely the news and get into our mid-roll, we have a couple segments that we have to bring back. It's been a hot minute. Would you like to start? You want me to go first?
You know what? I'll go.
Okay, I'll go. Ladies first. Perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, you watch it, Graf. Look, you were just talking about uniforms in the USFL and how they're a little bit bland, a little bit generic, and that's all right. But there are also times that uniforms just absolutely hit. They slap. And that's why on this week's edition of Mitch Moe's Top 5 List of the Week, we're going to be doing the best uniforms in NFL history.
Ooh, okay.
So,
are we talking just like best
of all time?
Any iteration of a uniform.
Any iteration of a uniform all time.
Okay. So for example, just so I understand the premise. So like, let's say the bright blue Panthers alternates. That could be one of them.
It's in play.
Okay. I understand. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Okay, so let's start off with some honorable mentions really quick. We got the Saints black and gold. Love those uniforms. I think it's really sharp looking.
Absolutely.
The Patriot red. So the red, the throwback
with the white
red
helmet
and Pat Patriot on the side.
Yes,
yeah,
with the white helmet, clean.
Had a hard time keeping that one off, yeah. But I think it just falls just a little bit short. I always have had a great affinity for the Raiders silver and black. I think it's just like the perfect uniform for the bad guys. So I've always liked the silver and black Raiders uniforms. And then the Jaguars teal and black also makes my list.
Okay.
And you and I both have a little nostalgia with wearing teal and black.
True.
Back to
true.
Our
former
popcorn
Jaguars,
and football.
You know, we love that.
Former
that always feels
popcorn
right.
Football days. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway.
Okay.
Number 5 on the list.
Numero cinco.
We're going classic to a team that doesn't even exist anymore. We are going with the Houston Oilers powder blues.
Ooh, yes.
Clean look. Not with the powder blue helmet, by the way. The white helmet with the powder blue oil tower. Just a classy, clean look. I love powder blue. You'll actually kind of see a theme a little bit on this list. But I love powder blue. I think it looks so clean on a uniform. And it's a great good guy color. Like when you think of like good guys, or the bad guys, you think of red and black and these kind of darker, more sinister colors, powder blue, white, the good guys. And I love the good guys. Oilers are the good guys. The love you blue Oilers, powder blues. Got to be on the list. They're number 5.
This is the least surprising entry on the list, and it's the first one. And I'm already not surprised it's on there.
Well,
Mitch loves the Oilers.
I mean,
how could you not? The color scheme is great. The jerseys were great. It's a great pick. It's a great pick.
It was okay. Number 4 on the list. We're gonna go with the Broncos orange crush jerseys. And I'm talking not the orange alternates they have now. I'm talking about the D with the Bronco, yes, the blue helmet, orange jerseys from John Elway's young years. Just classic, clean. They had the orange crust defense. Things were looking good in Denver at that point, and they had the quarterback of the future, and they're rocking these vibrant orange uniforms. I love everything about the orange crust jerseys. They're number four on the list.
It's a great one. Yeah, another great pick there. I love that.
Okay, number three on the list, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. They're on the list at number three. What's not to like about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders? I mean, let's be honest here. What's not to like about them? And quite honestly, we don't want to leave the ladies out. Like, they are they're in play for this list. And look, it's the most iconic cheerleader uniform in sports.
Oh, wait.
And
are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Really made number three the cheerleaders uniforms?
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, yes. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
I mean, yes. You're the top five guy, man. All right.
What's wrong with it? What do you have a problem with it?
All right.
No, you clearly have a problem with it. What's wrong?
No.
What's wrong?
It's your top five, buddy. I love it. Okay. I want to hear what's next. Let's keep it going.
Okay.
Let me guess. The referees, the officials. Oh, they have
You know that the Cowboys cheerleaders deserve to be on that list. You know they do. They're the most iconic cheerleaders uniform of all time. And you know what? they're nice. They're nice to look at. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Let's just put it that way. Number two on the list. Number two on the list. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys. Look, at the time, they were ugly. And the uniform, the logo, not the greatest logo in the world, with like the kind of almost realistic-looking pirate with the holding the dagger in his mouth. Not a great look, but you know what? The color scheme was fire. And I really hope that the Bucks utilize that throwback jersey more often, because it's an unmistakable jersey when you see it. You know exactly what team from what era when you see it. The Bucks creamsicle jersey is number two.
Yeah, that's a beloved classic. I think most NFL fans look back fondly, and as the NFL changes their rule in the next couple years that will allow teams to wear different colored helmets. Right now you can only wear one color helmet. Mm-hmm. As that is changed so teams can bring throwbacks, you would certainly hope that a lot of these jerseys are included in the throwbacks, including these, the Bucks creamsicles, which are great.
Now there's a number one on the list, Alan. And I think you will agree with me on this, because it is by far and away, I think, the greatest uniform of all time in NFL history. It's the Charger powder blues.
Oh,
the powder blue mixing with the white and the yellow. They had the lightning bolt with the number on the side of the helmet, white helmet. I mean, just you just didn't miss something. They didn't miss a single thing on that uniform. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Like, that's what a uniform should look like. And they didn't miss a single step on it. And it's clearly by far and away the best uniform in NFL history. They're number one.
It benefits too from simplicity, great colors, but also a great logo, right? The lightning bolt logo is a classic, simple, very aesthetic logo. Looks great on a helmet. And a lot of these don't have the best logo. And I think that works in the Chargers' favor here with the lightning bolt. I think that's a great pick. It's clear that you like light blues and oranges. That's Mitch's colors right there.
There's the theme.
There's two of those were light blues and two of those were oranges. I'm on board with you there. I love these. If I were to do one, the one you're missing besides the Panthers one that I mentioned, because I'm a sucker for the Panthers light, the electric blue.
Oh, sure. Great.
But the highlighter green Seahawks jerseys are just a classic, whether they look good or not, whether they're even like viewable through a TV screen or not, just the sheer audacity of having such a bright color and such a unique color, I think deserves some recognition. That was the only one that I thought was missing, but I loved the list. Great job.
Yeah. I, that was another one that I also considered as well, but I just, they were a little obnoxious for me.
If you don't like them, they're very bad. And I understand why people wouldn't like them.
They're like a puppy that's like really ugly, but so ugly it's still cute.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, that's the way I think of those uniforms. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen a puppy so ugly it's cute, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. But yeah, that is the top five list of the week. New one coming next week. So.
All right. We love the top five, and hopefully in this off season, we'll be able to incorporate more of the top five as we have a little less meat on the podcast every week. And speaking of segments, we hope to do more often. I've got to give a special thank you, a shout out, recognition to my cousin, a listener of the podcast, a longtime listener and follower, Spencer Ben Dixon. I talked to him over this weekend. My papa passed away. We held his funeral this weekend, all the family in town. And Spencer said to me, we need more of the top five. We need to bring that back. And we need to bring back this segment right here, which is Forgotten All-Star. It has been a hot minute. It has been a hot minute
since we hit
the staples, the OGs, top five Forgotten All-Star. That's our roots. Woo. You know, we got to tap in.
That's a day one segment, right?
Yes,
there.
It was. And so shout out to Spencer for the suggestion. I've got a Forgotten All-Star for Mitch, and how we've tweaked the segment. If you haven't been listening for a minute, you don't remember. I'm going to give Mitch three hints. Now we're talking about a player who made at least one all-star in their respective league that you might not remember. I'm going to give Mitch three hints, and he's going to have three guesses to name the player we're talking about. If he gets it, he wins. That is the game here. Mitch, this forgotten all-star is a forgotten NBA all-star. In honor of the NBA All-Star Weekend, we're talking NBA. This player was a former top five pick who played 19 seasons in the NBA and was a former teammate of LeBron James. This player is also a current college head coach at his alma mater.
All right. Former teammate of LeBron James, 19 seasons, current head coach at his alma mater. Was he a... No, he was a member of the Heat. I'm going to go Juwan Howard, Dallin.
You would be correct, my friend.
Let's go! Let's go!
You would be correct. Well done and fitting. As Juwan Howard was recently in the news for striking a Wisconsin assistant coach and getting himself suspended for the rest of the regular season, five seasons left in the Michigan Wolverine season. But yes, Juwan Howard, a one-time All-Star in his second season, was a teammate of LeBron James in Miami, won two NBA finals with LeBron in Miami, 19 seasons, as I said, in the NFL for Juwan Howard. And he was the top five pick in 1994. I did not remember that. So out of Michigan, you know, obviously a highly touted guy, but Juwan Howard, one-time all-star, forgotten all-star, got it on the first guess. Well done, man.
Yeah, I was that was the first one that came to mind. But also a member of the Fab Five,
right?
The Fab Five, the great starting five for the Michigan Wolverines. Now, can you name all five Michigan Wolverines that started in that lineup?
No, I cannot. I know Chris Weber was there.
Chris Weber.
And I know Juwan Howard was there.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all I can think of off the top of my head.
Jalen Rose was in that 5-5.
Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy King and Jackson was his last name.
Mitch I can't even remember.
I can't even. It's not Randy. It's something R Jackson, something like that.
Randy Jackson?
It wasn't Randy Jackson.
The judge from American Idol.
Hold on.
Mitch is quizzing me and he doesn't even know the answer. What is this?
I do know the answer.
You're Googling it right now. How much you
were Ray really Jackson. Know? I see. I knew it was Ray. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jalen Rose, Chris Webber.
Rod, what'd you say?
Juwan Howard. Well, yeah, because, you know, Ray Jackson slaps the strings in Journey and is a judge of American Idol. Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Ray Jackson, Jimmy
Reggie
King
Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. Yeah.
Well done. Juwan Howard, the Forgotten All-Star. Well done, my friend. Well, we got to keep breaking. We got to keep that up a little more often.
Absolutely.
Than we
sounds like it's maybe your turn next week.
Yeah.
Maybe we hijack each other's segments. Maybe you do a top five and I do a Forgotten All-Star.
All right. I love it. I'll bring it. I'll bring a top five. You bring a Forgotten All-Star.
Perfect.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Before we wrap up the news here and before we get to a mid-roll, we have to talk about the NFL draft and our player to know before the NFL draft. First off, Mitch, the NFL Combine takes place next week, next Tuesday, March 1st, beginning of the Combine, March 1st through March 7th in Indianapolis, an opportunity for NFL teams to get up close and personal with NFL draft prospects. Big opportunity for guys to make a rise on draft boards and in among teams' consensus and in the real sort of first step in establishing the order in essence of draft boards, the consensus on players and prospects, who's emerging as QB1, edge one, cornerback one. There's a lot of maneuvering to be had. And this is sort of the first big weekend where we'll see this take place. So that's something to look forward to in the world of the NFL draft next week as players will test and interview, get their medicals done in Indianapolis. But with the NFL Combine taking place, Mitch, the player to know before the NFL draft this week is the fourth quarterback we've brought up in this segment. We've already talked about Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, and Desmond Ridder this week. The player to know before the NFL draft and the quarterback, and arguably the player, the single player with the most to gain and the most important week ahead is Matt Corral, the quarterback out of Ole Miss. Corral is one of the top five or six guys in this draft class. It's hard to say where teams land on these guys right now. There's no consensus as far as who's number one, two, three, Ridder, Willis, Pickett, Sam Howell, and Matt Corral seem to be this consensus five. Any of those could be in the first round. And Matt Corral has himself a big opportunity ahead at the NFL Combine. Matt Corral was not at the Senior Bowl. All of the other top quarterbacks were at the Senior Bowl, had opportunities to interact with NFL coaching staffs and scouts, show their prowess on the field and, you know, on the whiteboard. And so Matt Corral was the only player who didn't have that opportunity. So NFL teams will be looking at him this weekend, will be prioritizing, interviewing him, speaking with him, and seeing how he performs. Corral is a 6'1", 200-pound quarterback who had a good season for Ole Miss, plays in a heavy RPO system, so very much is a system quarterback, but it succeeded very well this season, showed a lot of promise in 2018, and was sort of thought that he could eventually develop into be one of these top guys. Seems like the last couple of years, he's really put it together with Lane Kiffin there at Ole Miss, and Corral again has an opportunity this weekend to be to show where he stands in this quarterback class. He's a guy with a lot of athleticism, you know, not a Malik Willis type athlete, but certainly a guy who can maneuver outside the pocket and do stuff with his legs. That athletic upside is going to be intriguing for NFL teams, especially when you compare him to some of the other prospects out there, like Kenny Pickett, like Carson Strong, who aren't nearly as good in the pocket and with the legs. So Corral is an intriguing prospect to me, Mitch. I'm not super high on Matt Corral. In fact, coming up in the next week before the NFL Combine, on the website, you can look forward to my first NFL mock draft 1.0 that I will be putting out. And as a bit of a tease, I have Matt Corral as the third quarterback selected, going 18th overall to the New Orleans Saints, which I love the fit. That's one of my favorite fits. I think he's a guy who will work in the right place, but this is a big opportunity to prove himself to be a for sure first round quarterback. Any of the first three, you know, be one of the first three quarterbacks off the board and a big week ahead for him in Indianapolis.
Yeah, huge week. Like you said, system quarterback, a guy that really plays well within a certain system, but has plenty of arm talent. Used 20 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, threw the ball exceptionally well, kept the ball on his team's hands a lot of times, didn't turn it over. So, yeah, super excited to see what he does in the combine to impress certain scouts and see where he's going to fall in this year's upcoming draft.
Absolutely. All right, Mitch, that's it for the news. And that's it for the first half of the podcast. We're going to hit a break, have a little mid-roll. When we come back, an NBA reset, quarter of the season left. We'll take a look at playoff locks, play-in teams, and the lottery locks in the NBA. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Thanks for checking out the Sports Hour today. We appreciate you wherever you're listening, but if you haven't already, we recommend you check us out and give us a listen on Anchor.
Anchor allows us to provide the best product to you. You can go support the Sports Hour and become a permanent part of the show, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did.
You can even leave us voice messages with your thoughts and opinions that we can use on the show. Prove to us that you know better than me and Mitchmo.
Moral of the story, people, be more like Sammy and David. Go find us at anchor.fm/thesportshour, guys, and become a part of the conversation. What the hell are you waiting for? Welcome back in to the Sports Hour with Mitch Moe and Dallin. Second half of this show getting kicked off. NBA All-Star Weekend has come and gone. We are officially on the backside of the mountain. That is the NBA season. Approximately 25% of the season left. And Dallin, it's time to start talking about who's in the playoffs, who's locked in, maybe who's on the bubble, and who should be thinking about the lottery right now. So, I mean, it's that time of year now that All-Star Weekend has passed.
Absolutely, yeah. So every team's got about 20 to 25 games left. And we haven't talked much about the NBA as the season has gone on with a lot of NFL and more college football. So this is the time for us to sort of reset here, take a look at where the NBA landscape sits right now as a means to continue to talk about it moving forward. So we've broken the league up into three tiers: playoff locks, teams that are securely in the playoffs, whether that is the actual top six or the play-in tournament, which includes the 7 to 10 seeds. We have play-in teams, which are teams that are currently projected to be in that play-in tournament or fighting for an opportunity to be in the play-in tournament. And then lottery locks, which is teams at the bottom of the league, competing probably for potentially the number one pick opportunity to draft Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, or any of the top prospects out of college basketball. So Mitch, let's start with the playoff locks, and we're going to go conference by conference here. Let's start in the East right now. We penciled in 8 teams as playoff locks right now in the East. So obviously some of these teams are currently projected to be in the play-in tournament, but these are the 8 teams: the Miami Heat, number one, Chicago Bulls, Philadelphia 76ers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics, Toronto Raptors, and Brooklyn Nets. And Mitch, what I find most interesting about the East right now in this current playoff spot, all these teams are above 500. In fact, they're the only 8 teams in the conference above 500, hence why they're in this playoff lock. But they're all within 7 games. The 8 seed Brooklyn Nets are just 7 games back of the number 1 seed Miami Heat. Miami, Chicago tied with the same record, the best record in the East. And then you have Philly, Cleveland, Milwaukee, all just 2.5 games back of that number 1 spot. So all these teams are pretty securely going to be in the playoff field, at least in the play-in tournament. But any of them realistically have a shot at being the number 1 seed. So the East is wide open as far as how the seeding will go, who's going to be that top 6 to avoid the play-in tournament, who's going to secure home court advantage. It'll be very fun to watch how this race goes for the last quarter of the season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, only 7 games separating the 1 seed and the 8 seed. I mean, all you need is a bad run by one of those top 4 seeds and one of the bottom 4 seeds to absolutely go on a tear. And we're talking about them maybe being a top 4 seed right now. So things are still like kind of locked up, but also really wide open at the same time, as far as what the playoff seeding is going to look like for the teams that are going to be locked in.
Yeah. And some of the more surprising, I guess, spots in this right now with Brooklyn Nets, they are in this playoff locks, but they are the number 8, 31-28 in the season, just above 500, 7 games back, as we said, as the number 1, 2.5 games back of getting out of the play-in tournament and being that 6th seed where Boston sits. And obviously the Nets have struggled with injuries. Kyrie hasn't played very much at all. Kevin Durant struggled with injuries. They traded James Harden and acquired Seth Curry, Ben Simmons. So this team is very much in flux and has a very short amount of time to figure it out and get healthy. So yes, they're in the playoffs, but interesting to see that predicament. They obviously would have been a finals favorite heading into this season, but health certainly not been a big part of the modern Brooklyn Nets era that we've seen since Kevin Durant joined a few years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think you mentioned the big one there. We just don't know when the hell Kyrie's going to play. Like, and that was like the huge thing of that big three not being successful was Kyrie was just not being, I mean, health was also a big deal, but like, I think they've been together technically 2 years, even though KD sat out that first year. Kyrie, they collectively have played like what, like under 20 games as a big three together. Like we never really saw that whole thing come to fruition. So it's a little disappointing to see them in the position that they are now. Like you said, the roster in flux. And so it's going to be interesting to see moving forward with the big James Harden, Ben Simmons trade that they made, how that's going to affect them down the stretch here as we get closer to playoff time.
Yeah. A couple teams that are pretty surprising to be in this tier, teams that were lottery picks last year, top 5 picks in the NBA draft last year, the Cleveland Cavaliers currently sit as the number 4 seed, 35-23 record, and the Toronto Raptors, 32-25. Raptors selected Scotty Barnes right in the draft. The Cleveland Cavaliers selected Evan Mobley, and here they are now turning this around very quickly. Cleveland Cavaliers had multiple all-stars this past weekend as they hosted the games in Cleveland. Darius Garland, Jarrett Allen, all-stars for Cleveland. They've been one of the biggest surprises, and they're 2.5 games back. I mean, they're still in the running to be the number 1 seed. I mean, that is crazy. Nobody would have expected that for the Cavs and the Raptors as well, being securely in this playoff field, certainly in the play-in tournament. Great for both of those teams to turn this thing around very quickly.
Yeah, I believe when we did our tier list at the beginning of the year, I had the Cavs like lottery guys. Yes. Like they did not expect this Cavaliers team to be as good as it is, and they have turned it around exceptionally quick post the last LeBron stint in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Mitch, as we look over at the Western Conference playoff locks, less teams in this, just 6 teams as playoff locks in the West. And they go as follows, starting at the top with the Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, Memphis Grizzlies, Utah Jazz, Dallas Mavericks, and Denver Nuggets. Those are the top 6 seeds there. All those teams securely playoff locks, all those teams well above 500. And a different landscape here in the West. Mitch, the Suns are 6.5 games up on the Warriors. The Warriors have a fantastic record, by the way. The Warriors would clearly be the number one seed in the East by far. Even the Memphis Grizzlies have a better record than any team in the East, but yet the Suns are still leagues ahead of them in the record, 48-10 right now for the Suns. And despite the fact that they're going to be missing Chris Paul for most of the rest of this regular season, 4 to 6 weeks, he might be getting back right as the playoffs start. They seems like they're securely locked into this number one seed, despite whatever the Warriors and Grizzlies would be able to pull off. I mean, 6.5, 8 game leads respectively over those two teams. Seems like the Suns are, you know, securely in there. And if you're the Warriors or the Grizzlies, you're feeling pretty comfortable about acquiring home court advantage, right? And getting those first couple games at home. If you're both those teams.
I mean, this Suns team is so good. They're so good. And like, we were talking about them making a run for that to win the finals last year, right? And fell a little bit short, but this team is so good. Devin Booker has just emerged as a star in the NBA, not just the next big young guy. He's a star. A veteran presence from like Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, guys like that, that have been around the league for a little while, just add to the youth that they've also accumulated in Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Michael Bridges. This Suns team is for real, and they feel like a team that's going to be around for a long time. I know that we still got a whole 25% of the season to go. So we might as well just focus on this season right now. But this Suns team feels like a team that's going to be around and be successful like this for a long time.
Yeah, they certainly would be the favorite out of the West right now, the favorite to win the NBA Finals with just how well they've played this season. But as I said, Suns, Warriors, Grizzlies, all those teams have at least 40 wins. All those teams at the top of the West can probably pencil themselves in to have a favorable matchup in the first round of the playoffs, a home court advantage there. The final three teams there in the West are a little closer bunched up, all within three games. Utah Jazz at the 4 seed, Dallas Mavericks at the 5, and Denver at the 6. All those solid playoff teams right where we'd expect them to be. Jazz are 4 games back of Memphis for the 3. So any of those teams have an ability to maybe move up a tier there. But really this is about where these teams should be. And you know, maybe you're trying to fight for that 4 seed to secure home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe you don't want to be the 4 or the 5 because you'd avoid Phoenix, by being the 6, right? You'd end up in the 2-3 matchup instead of having the 1, if you're the 4 or 5. So maybe that's the advantage there. We'll see. But, all those teams are solid, having good seasons, should securely be in the playoffs. But not quite cracking that top tier in the West.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Mitch, the next tier is the play-in teams. These are teams sort of competing, currently projected in the play-in field, or still fighting to be a part of the play-in tournament. In the East, it's the 9 through 12 seeds, and they read as follows: the Charlotte Hornets, Atlanta Hawks, Washington Wizards, and the New York Knicks. Right now, Charlotte, Atlanta are in the play-in tournament as the 9 and 10 seeds, both just below 500, couple games back of Brooklyn there for the 8. Washington, a game back currently on the outside looking in, and then the Knicks, 2.5 games back of the Wizards, 3.5 total of the play-in tournament. Still technically alive, but certainly on the outside looking in. And Mitch, obviously got to be disappointing for the Knicks and the Hawks here, who were both playoff teams last year, who played each other in the 4-5 game last year, in the 4-5 game, right? And here they are both fighting for their lives to even get into the play-in tournament, to even have a shot to make the playoffs. It is pretty surprising. For the Hawks, I think it's more surprising. I wasn't as high on the Knicks this year. I thought there would be a regression, so I'm maybe not as surprised. Certainly the Knicks are not doing as well as people would have thought, but the Hawks, after going to the Eastern Conference Finals to be the 10 seed below 500 at this point, certainly they need a resurgence, a turnaround here. They need health, but they need guys around Trae Young to step it up.
Yeah. Both teams, I think, that outperformed expectations last year, that we saw a little bit of regression in, but that Hawks team, and I agree with you on the Knicks, that Hawks team though is still pretty decent. Of course. They just have not met expectations. And I'm confident that they will come playoff time, rise to those occasions. I think that they'll get into the play-in game, and that they'll rise to the occasion and put on a show. So not surprised in the Knicks regression, but definitely surprised in the Hawks regression. That's for sure.
Yeah. Charlotte,
not this far, at least, you know, if they were an 8 seed, then whatever, but outside looking in and you're trying to get on the playoff in a play-in game, that's a little bit surprising.
Yeah. And the Knicks are 25-34. So that is not a good record. I mean, that's not just slightly below 500. That is, you know, that's not good. So
exactly 9 games below 500.
Certainly a lot of work to do for the New York Knicks. Good to see Charlotte in this mix. They were in the play-in tournament last year, right? With LaMelo Ball. He's a first time all-star this year. Exciting young team. You hope they get another crack at it. You know, if they're playing, you know, Brooklyn, in the final game for the 8 seed. That's just awesome. What a great opportunity. I hope that they get a good shot there. They're right in the mix. Like I said, currently projected to be the number 9 seed. Mitch, in the Western Conference play-in tournament bubble, we've got the 7 through 12 seeds. So a few more teams in the bubble, obviously the top 6 play in locks. But here are the next 6 teams as follows in the West, starting with the 7 seed, Minnesota Timberwolves, only team on this list above 500, 31-28. And then we have the Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Portland Blazers, the San Antonio Spurs, and the New Orleans Pelicans. I left the Sacramento Kings off this list. We can talk about them a little bit later. That might be a slight. Sorry, Jordan Fox, our good friend. You hate to see it. I did throw them in the lottery locks. But as far as this goes, Minnesota and the LA teams are more securely in this play-in tournament. Minnesota's 2.5 games back at Denver right now, the 6th seed. LA... both the LA teams and Minnesota separated by about 3.5 games. And so all those teams will probably securely be in the play-in tournament. That final spot, though, the 10th spot is going to be the biggest competition. Portland right now, they're 25-34. 2 games back of Portland are the Spurs and the Pelicans, who are each 23-36, just 2 games back there, as I said. So those teams fighting for a shot to have a shot at the playoffs. Again, I like this play-in tournament because it makes teams more competitive towards the end of the season, but Pelicans are in a bad spot. Zion is not playing. He's a horrible teammate. The Spurs having a very down season. The Blazers just sold the whole shop. And so I'm not very interesting at the end of this grouping. Good to see for Minnesota finally seeing some success with all those early picks. You know, getting Kat on a playoff team, you know, Anthony Edwards, who they spent the number 1 overall pick on a couple years ago. The LA teams are the biggest surprise here, though, Mitch, right? I mean, to have both the Clippers and the Lakers in this predicament probably is the biggest surprise, wouldn't you say?
You know, for the Lakers, it is. I mean, the Lakers have vastly underperformed. I mean, this was a team that brought in Russell Westbrook. We're trying to make that push, add that one extra piece that they need, that LeBron needed, and things still aren't working. And it sounds like that maybe there's a miscommunication in the front office between LeBron miscommunication between the front office and LeBron. And, you know, they didn't go out at the trade deadline to make a big move. And I just feel like this team's kind of stagnant right now. I don't feel really confident that they can turn it around. AD has not played up to his full potential. LeBron is starting to show his age.
He's starting to show his age? He's averaging 29 points a game, which is 3rd in the NBA. 7.9 rebounds, 6.5 assists. I mean, LeBron's still LeBron, right? In my opinion. And for the Lakers, this is about AD health, Russell Westbrook being a horrible investment, and them not willing to pivot off of that. Right?
I think they could have made a move, but they didn't. Not that LeBron is not having a good year, but I think in the past when LeBron was in the middle of his prime, if he had everyone else playing bad around him, he could will that team to still have a winning record. He would find a way to do it, and it's not happening right now.
He's carrying more of a load offensively than he has any year with the Lakers. He's averaging more points per game than he has
with the Lakers
since 2009. He has not averaged. He's averaging 29 points a game this year, Mitch. He hasn't reached that point since the 2009-2010 season, his final season in his first stint in Cleveland. He hasn't averaged 29 points since then. So he is taking a bigger offensive load than he has before, because he doesn't have as good of a team as he has had for the last decade of his career. And I think it's showing the horrible team building that the Lakers have done. And honestly, it's a lot of LeBron's fault. When you bring in a LeBron James and you're forced to make moves to appease him, to bring in certain players around him, you handicap your future, you handicap your ability to improve your roster. And that's what we've seen from the Lakers the past couple years since they won that championship in 2020, right? I mean, they just have tried to fill holes as best as they can. And it hasn't really worked. And so this team's another result of it. As far as the playoffs go, this is always as simple to me as if AD and LeBron are healthy, this will always be a very competitive team. Can they win another championship? I don't think the pieces around them are good enough as they were in 2020 to do that. But if AD and LeBron are healthy and playing at that high level, they can compete with anybody on any given night. And if you're a Lakers fan or you're betting on the Lakers, that's what you've got to bet on, is those guys get healthy and they turn it on at the playoffs and the unstoppable duo emerges. And that's the only shot the Lakers have at this point. It's bad. It's bad for the Lakers right now. Certainly a disappointing season. Mitch, the lottery locks, just the bottom of the barrel here. We won't spend too much time here. But in the Eastern Conference, we got three teams, the Indiana Pacers, Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic. All those teams are well out of the playoffs, certainly secured into the lottery, looking to pick one of those top talents. In fact, Orlando would have the projected number one pick right now, or the best odds, followed by Detroit. So both those teams are right at the bottom there. And then in the West, we have Sacramento. As I mentioned, I grouped into this 22-38 for the Kings. Then Oklahoma City at 18-40 and Houston at 15-43. So a lot of these teams, lottery teams last year, not a big surprise that they're right back down here. I took Sacramento out of the top group, Mitch. They're only a game and a half back of New Orleans, which is the 12 seed, right? So you could make an argument they're still in that play-in tournament team area, but I guess I just don't believe they'll get up there, and they haven't made a playoffs in forever, so I'm not going to give them the credit to believe they'll do it. Maybe that's wrong, but that's why I put them down here. I don't know if you disagree with that, if you think they should have been the play-in tier or not.
No, I agree with it. I'll have to eat a little crow. They were in my playoff or my play-in game tier at the beginning of the year.
Right, right.
Look, they're absolutely horrible on the road. 7-21 on the road this year, and the majority of these last 20 or so games are played on the road for the Sacramento Kings. So they are not going to – based off what we've seen them do – on the road, and they're still not playing well, you know, at home. They're two games under 500 at home. So things just aren't going right for the Kings right now. They make the deal at, you know, at the trade deadline, but that's not going to be enough to get it done. They're going to have to regroup, look at the lottery, and regroup for next year at this point.
For sure. And they do have a pretty challenging schedule moving forward, in my opinion. So that certainly doesn't help their case to move up into that play-in tier and potentially have a shot at that 10 spot and sort of sneak in into the play-in tournaments. So that's the NBA. That's our sort of NBA reset here. That's, you know, we'll be watching, you know, moving forward again, the race for seeding in both the East and the West, but really the East as it is pretty wide open right now, who ends up as those top four seeds, top six, and then really the play-in tournament teams, who's going to sneak into that play-in tournament. Are we going to see some teams like break some playoffs streaks that they haven't participated in a hot minute? Will be interesting to see. Mitch, it's about it for the NBA there. Anything else before we wrap this up?
I think we got it all, man. I think we got it all.
That's it. That's all she wrote. That's where we're at.
Benito! All right, folks. Done!
Benito. Ja se acabó. Guys, this has been the podcast. We appreciate it. As we talked about at the very top, go read Mitch's Hot Corner on the website, thesportshourguys.wordpress.com. You go check out all our stuff there. I'll have a mock draft again coming out in the next week. First mock draft 1.0 for the 2022 NFL draft. More content to come as always. So you'll want to be regular checking that. Follow the socials if you don't already. The Twitter is at Sports Hour Guys. Instagram at the Sports Hour Guys. The TikTok at the Sports Hour Guys. Mitch has got to fulfill his punishment. 9 more TikToks to go for Mitch to make to embarrass himself for losing our quick picks. So, Mitch, you got work to do. And, folks, if you want to see him embarrass himself, follow the TikTok at the Sports Hour Guys. Shout out to Mitch, by the way, who our Instagram reel of the TikTok we shot while we were here had the most views any of our videos have ever done. Almost 2,500 views on Instagram on the reel of the TikTok you made. You're going to, next thing we know, you're going to be famous, or you're going to leave us, Mitch. You're going to be a TikTok star with Charlie D'Amelio. Hey, you're going to be doing all those cute dances. Incredible.
I've been learning all the cute dances. So, yeah, maybe I just might ditch you and just go live in the hype house and be friends with all those fucking people. Like, I can't stand TikTok stars. I'm sorry. I can't stand TikTok stars.
It's all Gen Zers, Mitch. I mean, we just can't get that. You know?
God. I would find the tallest balcony and jump off.
You would last a solid like 2 minutes and you'd be done.
Not that if that's where the over under is at, I'm taking the under.
That's like, generous. I'm taking
the under. That's generous. Very generous.
Fair enough. Fair enough, my friend. Tell Mitch, remind the people about Anchor.
Anchor is the best place that you can become part of the conversation. Get on anchor.fm/thesportshourguys. Get on there. Leave us a voice message. We want to hear from you. If there's anything that you want us to discuss, leave us a voice message. We will play it right here on the podcast, and you will become a part of the conversation. We want to hear from you. Once again, that's the sportshourguys.fm or anchor.fm/thesportshourguys. Don't type in any of that shit I just said. It is anchor.fm/thesportshourguys. Once again, go ahead and check out our website. It is up and running. It's in full swing. That is thesportshourguys.wordpress.com. You can listen to us anywhere that you get your podcast. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Get at us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. Tell us we suck, because Dallin, that is the only way that we can get better. And I just want to add, if you have any TikTok suggestions, get on Anchor, leave us a voice message. We'll play it here on the episode, and we will take due note of the suggestion that I should do for my embarrassing TikTok punishment.
I love that. Yes, please send your suggestions in for Mitch's TikToks.
Send it to the Instagram. Send it wherever TikTok that you have our socials.
If you follow us on there, absolutely. We'd love ideas for there. We want to hear from you. Suggestions, segments to bring back, things to add in the future. We do this for us, and we do this for you, the listeners. So thanks again for participating. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will catch you next week.
See ya.